Father, we give you the praise. Knowing you is what we want to do. Blessed be your name. Honor to your name. Adoration to your name. Be glorified. Be honored, Lord. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a praise. Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. What an exciting time in the presence of God. And what very powerful impact we have been receiving at the Ignite Youth Conference so far. I know our time limitation, especially as it regards the commanding the day midnight prayers. And we are going to see how fast we go with the time that we have. Continuing on the subject that I started yesterday, the youth in dominion. And here we are looking at the life of Joseph. This will be part two. Media, I'm sure you have. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1. I'll read all the way to about verse 6. And Joseph was brought down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house. That was where Joseph made the difference. I didn't finish verse 5. All that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not what he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. The Lord bless his word in Jesus' precious name. Yesterday we looked at how most of the people we saw in Scripture made their mark as youth. When we come, when you look at Daniel, as for example, Daniel was about 17 years old when he stood before Nebuchadnezzar. And he remained in perpetual relevance for over 71 years. Daniel. Now, yesterday we saw Joseph. And I want to also recap the things we saw in Joseph that gave him access to dominion. Number one, we see that if we are to exist as a youth in dominion, we should exist with a clear difference. Number two, we must exist with a positive stand for something. Number three, we must exist as people of conviction. Number four, maintain submission to spiritual authority. 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 Number five, make a difference wherever you are found, like we saw Joseph made in the house of Potiphar. Number six, which is what we're going tonight, maintain and possess. The other way, possess and maintain the presence of God. The presence of God. The presence of God with a man causes the man to make a difference on the earth. Your most important asset in life is not your properties. Your most important asset in life is not your dress. Your most important asset in life is not your cloth. It's not your certificate. Your most important asset in life is the presence of God. The highest thing that can be said about a man is not that he has money. The highest thing that can be said about a person is not that they are beautiful. The highest thing that can be said about a person is not that they are intelligent, they got first class. That's very good. The highest thing that can be said about a person is that God is with that man. God is with that girl. God is with that boy. We have a youth in our generation today that possess everything but God's presence. When you come across a person, a youth that will dominate in the future, You must perceive the presence of God around them today. That is, when people come around you, they feel something. When people look into your face, they feel something. When people hear your voice, they feel something. In my days in the university, my room was like a hub. My room and the room of myself and our room, it was like a hub of people. They will come and they will go. They will just pass and they will go. One day I was talking with one of them, young man. I said, "What? You come here all the time. What's happening?" He said, "I come to catch the presence of God." He said, "When I come in here, I feel something. I feel something. I come in here, I feel something." And that feelable something, that thing he feels, he just comes like charges up himself and goes with it. Beloved brothers and sisters, the extent to which we feel God with you is the extent to which you mark your world. You mark your world. Your spirituality is what determines your authority. Your authority in life is rooted in your spirituality. Your spirituality even determines your longevity, how long you last in relevance. Your spirituality. Is God speaking to someone here at all? Please, I beg you, in all your getting of new cloth and getting of new dress and getting of new hairstyle and getting of new gadget, new phone, getting of all of these things, I challenge you to get the presence of God. Take your seat. I challenge you to get the presence of God. I heard the story of a lady years ago. Her name was Helen Ewers. Helen. This lady I heard this story almost 40 years ago. I'm likely going to verify it. That this lady carries such a presence that when she is passing, you could see reflection on glass. It was a glory on her. You know the way light reflects on glass. And that in those days, if a meeting was to be held, they like to invite her, not to preach, but to sit. Because once she is there, you can be guaranteed the climate. She carried a climate. There are people who are spiritual climatic changers. They are atmospheric changers. When they show up, something shifts in the climate. Question you want to ask yourself, youth, at this time is, what climate do you carry? What climate, what atmosphere do you carry? When Joseph showed up in the house of Potiphar, the climate changed until everything began to grow, both in the house and in the field. Joseph was staying in the house, but his presence in the house was affecting Potiphar's results in his office, in his field, because of somebody living in his house. Let people encounter your spirituality, not your carnality. People can get easily tired of how you look, but they will not be tired of what you carry. You don't understand what I'm saying? Yes, you are a beautiful young lady. That's right. Congratulations. You are fine. You are well dressed. But the time will come when somebody gets tired of how you look or tired of how well dressed you are. Or you may see somebody who is more well-dressed than you, or somebody who is more beautiful than you. But there is something you can carry inside you that nobody gets tired of. Because the presence of God carries an addictive power. It's like an opium. It's addictive. It's addictive. The more you get it, the more you want to get it. Am I communicating at all? That is how you can make your life and your destiny perpetually relevant to your generation. I'm married for 31 years. And if you ask my wife, she will tell you whether she's tired of me or not. And vice versa. Why? Because every day is fresh. There is a tonic in the air. There is a climate that is perceivable. Am I communicating the other day? My daughter came to my room the other day with her baby and her husband. And I said, Daddy, once you come here, you just want to remain here. Right? So you just want to, somebody just want to remain and just sleep here. Because it's an undeniable presence. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Beloved brothers and sisters, in all you're getting, insist, ensure that you are a carrier of the presence of God for your generation. Ensure that your life becomes a distribution channel for the presence of God. Anywhere there is dry season regarding God's presence, when you show up, let it become rainy season. Anywhere, any house, any family, any community, any nation. One of the things that we see in our crusades is not just healings of blind eyes or deafness. It's the climate that people feel. One man came to our crusade in America. I was preaching for Jonathan Shuttlesworth in Dallas, in Texas, October last year. And a man came, his name is Jeff. And he came into the meeting. That was a very, very terrible program. Tiring program in terms of how it went. Straight from Worship and Wonders Night, arrived at the airport. There was a JJC, immigration or whatever he was then, who wanted to check every bag. And we're rushing. Remember this? And we're planning to, and we're rushing for program. That guy. That was our first time. I mean, other times when we come, they come into the plane and checks us and we go straight. This one said, oh, they should bring all the back. He's checking it one by one. I said, we have program we are rushing for. And you should be mindful of how we came. One tiny devil entered his head. I called the man of God and said, we are still at the airport. There is a funny guy here who is insisting on checking everything. Well, Yes, we had to proceed to Florida. Yeah. So, as soon as that happened, we drove straight into the meeting. Meeting was already on from Washington at one last night. Exhausted. Tired. I came and said, what is next? They said, you are next to come to the pulpit. I went straight to the pulpit, carried the instrument and started worshiping. And then began to minister. Incredible manifestation. The man told me later on, he said, the moment you just walked in to that place, as if they drew a curtain. He said the climate just shifted. He said the last time he felt a thing like that, he said it was Benny Hinn's crusade about 30 years ago in California. He said the heydays of the Benny Hinn's meetings. That was what he said. That kind of climate that you feel from the front all the way to the back. When I heard of that and I saw the things that happened to people, I realized the tiredness was worth it. The stress was okay. The sadness disappeared. The stress was okay. A climate change happened. We are talking of physical climate change. My dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters, because there are many of you here old enough to be biological children, I announce to you today, God is looking up to you to become a distribution channel. When the Bible said the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the seas, it means I am looking for people to spread around the earth who will saturate the earth with my presence. People that will saturate the earth with my presence. Anywhere they are, people can be sure that my presence is there. Is God speaking to somebody? Say a loud amen. Say a loud amen. Lift your hands and say, Father. Say, Father, I come before you today. I receive the grace to possess and maintain your presence in my generation, for my generation, in the name of Jesus. Take your seat. If I'm going to start preaching on the way into the maintenance, the possession and the maintenance of God's presence, it is another subject. But maybe before the conference is over, I might find the time to speak on that, because they gave me a very, very loaded schedule. But I want you to just make up your mind. Any day your spirit man begins to run dry, when you begin to feel empty, when your tongue begins to lack power, you yourself know it lacks power. When your worship begins to lack presence, when your heart begins to feel empty, shut down. Even if it is 3 hours, 4 hours, one day, and just go before God. There is something we call consecrational fast, where you have it mandatorily, weekly. In those days, I did mine twice a week. Today, how many times a week is the fast? Right? You are not asking for money. You are not asking for anything. You just want to be in order. You just want to be in order. You just want to carry that feelable presence, tangible presence. By the time this service is over, we'll talk about that. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody lift up your hands and say, Father. Say it loud and say, Father, I come before you today and I receive your help and I receive your mercy. In Jesus' name. We were in New Jersey. We just passed beside a shop, like a car shop or something. We passed. The young man there said, hello, good day, how are you doing, sir? I said, fine. He said, you're a man of God, you're a pastor in America. I said, why are you asking? He said, it is written all over you. No television. He said, it's written all over you. You have heard the story before in Wembley area of London. He came. Young lady, Arab girl, from North Africa of the other religion. Saw me, said, "What you have, I want it." I said, "What is it?" We continued checking in. Came and brought her, sat down with her, my wife and I, and said to her, "What are you talking about?" She said, "I don't know. All I know is what you have, I want it." I asked our people, our hosts then, "Did you tell her anything? Did you tell her who we were?" She said, "No, we're just all coming." I said, "I have Jesus. I have the Holy Spirit. I have the fire of God. I have the presence of God." She said, "Everything you said, I want it." We led her to Christ there, laid hands on her, and prayed for her. Life changed. Destiny changed. Everything changed. Something is changing for you today. Say a louder amen. Say a louder amen. Shout the loudest amen. Lift your hands and say, "Father, I want to live in the world of your glory. I want to live in the world of your glory." Young men and young women, I don't know if Dr. Mr. Nature has said this to you, but don't ever let anybody marry you on the basis of your container. Your container. On the basis of your looks, on the basis of your dress, on the basis of your shape, your container. Because the value of container is minimal. You know, when they sell Coke, they tell you the price and they say, "Liquid content only." Do you understand what I'm talking about? Let your value be in your content. The presence of God you carry, your character content, which we shall come to later. Let your generation be attracted to you on the basis of your content, the fragrance of his presence that you carry. Let your generation value you. I'm not saying you should look shabby. I don't look shabby myself. I'm sure it's confirmed. No, I don't. I won't. That's not what I'm saying. But beyond how you look, what is your makeup? I'm not talking of this physical makeup. What is the fabric of your person? What weight do you carry? How weighty are you inside? How weighty are you spiritually? When people engage you in discussion, what do they encounter? Do they encounter vanity? Do they encounter profanity? Do they encounter carnality? Or they encounter spirituality? Or they encounter high mentality? What do they encounter? That is what is your measure, your real measure. Don't let your life be the passage of seduction, but let it be the passing of impartation. Let not somebody be seduced because they encountered you. Let them be imparted and impacted because they encountered you. Am I communicating at all? Please bear that in mind. Because most times we waste our lives and we waste our time on the external. Again, I'm not against that. We spend a lot of time. I'm sure ladies know what I'm talking about. You take a lot of time in front of a mirror. The hair must look perfect. The face must look accurate. With a lot of adjustments. And when it comes to doing the hair, can range from 1 hour to 3 days. It's a total shutdown because hair is being done. Am I coming? Are there not hairstyles that they do for a whole day? Do you understand? We spend so much time on the physical, but do I have bad news for you? What many of us spend the majority of our time ends in the grave. What we spend our time and invest in, it ends 6 feet below. It's not a trace of it that goes with us to eternity. What goes with us to eternity are the deposits we made into our spirits. The deposits we made in our spirits. The impact we made on people on the earth. That is what goes with us into eternity. Bad news is, 24 hours, 48 hours after you leave your body, even yourself don't want to stay around it. Without it going into the morgue, embalmment, yourself will not want to stay near it because of how degenerating it is becoming. Yet, that is what majority of human beings waste their lives on. And I'm not saying you should not take the time to bath. You should not take the time to dress. What I am saying is, whatever time you take to do those things should be shadow compared to the time you take to make deposits in your spirit. You know, in my medical school days, anatomy books were so big. My children, when they saw my Grace Anatomy, they said, "Sir, how is this possible?" They will see lines on the line up to page 1,000 and something. How did you read all of this? In our medical school days, I don't know about now. You can start reading from 10 in the night and lift up your head when the light is coming through the window. Do you know what I did then? I decided that I cannot use all the time just for reading. And if you cannot do it, don't try it. I am reading and I'm praying. For as long as I was reading, my tongue was moving. So if I read for 6 hours, I prayed for 6 hours. If I read for 3 hours, I prayed for 3 hours. If I read, and then in those days there was this big tape recorder. And then they brought the twin cam. You remember the twin cam then? Anybody remember that? And my Hosanna Integrity and Vineyard Music and all of that is just by the side, in the background. I was charged up spiritually. By the time I had finished reading, I hadn't just finished dwelling on the natural or developing just my mind. I had thoroughly impacted my spirit. So the deposits were going on concurrently. Suppose you were doing your hair for 3 hours and you plug your ears with some fireful messages. And if you did that hair for that length of time, you also invested in your spirit 3 hours of brutal, rugged, impactful messages. And probably praying at the same time. Or maybe worship, deep worship is in the background at the same time. And by the time you step out of here of that place, you did not just plait your hair, you plaited your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? Teach us to number our days
so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. We don't have eternity to fulfill destiny. So the time you are using to, John Gillick said, I run as I walk as I run. So everything is now mixed into everything. Reading time has become praying time. Praying time has become study time. The time to do the hair has become the time to listen to message. Everything is now together. I don't have any time to waste on just developing my flesh and developing the physical. I need time to develop my spirit as well. And I have to do many things together.
Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a loud amen. I want you to stand up on your feet and just blast in tongues for 2 minutes. Pray in the spirit for 2 minutes. Echo shit of Rata to stop, but someone just, one of our officers confirmed what I just talked about Helen Ewan. Helen arose early each morning, gathering in the frigid stillness of dawn to commune deeply with the Lord. Her diaries reveal an extraordinary prayer life. Observers often describe the moment Helen entered a gathering as charged with God's presence. She will quietly take her seat during ongoing meetings, yet the atmosphere shifted. That is, every time she stepped in, there was a shift in the atmosphere. The atmosphere shifted. People knew she had arrived. When last did the atmosphere shift because you entered the room? What difference did it make that you just arrived? What changed? That man said, the moment we stepped in from that airport in Dallas that day and entered the, he said something shifted, as if a curtain was drawn, as if something dropped. When was the last time? And I want you to know, there are people that intensify God's presence around you, and there are people that dissipate it. And you have to be conscious. When there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, Jesus was not called to preach. He was not called to officiate nothing. He wasn't even called to perform a miracle, because he had never performed a miracle. That was his first miracle. But he was called to sit. Please come, let's be guaranteed that God is here. Let there be a confirmation that we are not by ourselves. And he said, there were others who came, and all they came to do was to take. Those were the ones that drank up the wine. Jesus was the one who multiplied the wine. There are people who take treasures out of your life. And that is the kind of friends many people like to keep. The kind of people that drain you. The kind of people that dry you up. The kind of stories they will talk with you, empty you. The kind of conversations they will have, their interaction with your life, emptied your life. What they will introduce you to, emptied your life. You were so spiritual until you met them. You were a firebrand until you encountered them. You were impacting your generation until you encountered them. I was discussing with Dr. Miss Enetchi yesterday, and I don't want you to be afraid, but just be sensitive. Because we're talking about 2-3 different brothers on fire on campus who married almost devils. And now, 3 friends, 2 of those 3 women, 2 of them told the men, 2 of them told the men, I am on assignment in your life. I was sent on assignment in your life. One told one, he said, I am through with you. I have finished what I'm here to do. One of the 2 is dead now. One of the men. You will not be cut short. You will not miss it. You will not miss road. You will not miss direction. The current friends around you, are they contributors or consumers? Are they assets or liabilities? Are they adding something to your life or taking something out of your life? I told you yesterday, you should have enough conviction to tell your best friend what? No. When they want you to do the wrong thing. Oh, no. No. Very firm, no. I don't hate you, I love you. But I am not a pendulum. I am not rubber band. I have conviction. You don't shift me where you want. You must make up your mind that the friends, the people of your life are people who brought something and you are bringing something into their lives. Iron sharpening iron. Not the people who came to empty you of the valuable presence you carry. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Father, today I am asking, make a deposit in my life. Can you imagine? A Swedish woman by that name, it was testified and well known in society that any time she entered the meeting, atmosphere shifted. That is, the pastor was there, but the atmosphere did not shift. The preacher for the day was there, but the atmosphere did not change. Until a little woman who is just doing evangelism on the street enters, and Jehovah came with him, with her. It reminded me of those days when the Bible says in those days, Annas and Caiaphas were high priests. And the word of the Lord came to John the Baptist in the wilderness. So now Matthew chapter 3, verse 4 and 5. Annas and Caiaphas. Start from verse 1. And in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea. So repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Keep going. Maybe it's the Luke version. Keep going. Check the Luke version of it. Annas and Caiaphas. They were the official bishops. They were the official high... That's right. Annas and Caiaphas being the high priests. They were the ones who occupied the temple. But the word of the Lord did not go to them in the temple. He jumped them and went and met somebody in the wilderness. The matter is not a matter of your title. The matter is not a matter of your position. The matter is the matter of your consecration. It's a matter of your disposition. Night conference. Lord, ignite me with your presence. If you left this conference to your school and people don't feel there is a shift in climate, then you didn't come here. If you left this conference and you went to your school, you went to your class, you went to your hostel, and you went to your family house, and they don't feel a shift in climate, you didn't come here. Or you came here, you heard nothing. Father, my climate cannot remain normal. My life and my climate cannot remain usual. I things can't remain with me the way they have been. I have been ordinary enough. I refuse to be ordinary from now. Father, I need this climate that is extraordinary. You are going to pray for 3 more minutes and fire in the spirit. Lift your voice and say, Father,
Father,
I refuse
to be ordinary.
Lay your hands on me. Let my life change the climate in my generation. I refuse to be ordinary. I have been ordinary. Father, help my life to change the climate in my generation. Let me come out and pray. Thank you.
We're going to pray. I have so much to say. But I perceive the Lord detained me around this subject. In the book of Joshua, chapter 3, help out there. From verse 1. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan. And all the children of Israel, and they lodged there before they passed over. Now they were about to cross the Jordan. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, the ark of the covenant of the Lord is the symbolism of God's presence in the Old Testament. And the priest, the Levite, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Those who carry the presence take the lead. Your generation is compelled to follow you if you carry the ark. When you see the ark, when you see the ark, place it there, then you shall go after it. When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levites bearing it, then leave your place and follow them. Why do you want to be followed without carrying the ark? Why do you want to be followed without carrying the ark? Why do you want to compel the attention of your generation without carrying the ark? Why do you want people to follow your steps, help out right there, without carrying the ark? Oh my shatakalayada. I am tired of where I have been. I am tired of where I have been. Oh Lord, place your ark, the ark of your presence on my life. Place the ark of your presence on my life. Oh Masha, lift your voice and say, Father, I am tired of where I have been. I ask, Lord, can you place the ark of your presence on my life? In this season, oh Lord, for the next 2 minutes, pray that prayer. Come on,
And then we shall pray. Bless that scripture. He said, you don't need to beg the people to follow you. All they need to see is you carrying the ark. He said, remove from your place. Go outside. Go outside, means run after them. When you carry his presence, your generation will run after you. Your generation, you compel, you command the race of your generation. Run, leave your place, leave what you are doing, run. You won't struggle to make yourself known. You won't be struggling to be popular. But there is more. So leave your place. And the commander, the people say, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priest, the Levite, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. Keep going. Yet there shall be space between you and them.
Aya.
It is not possible to carry the presence and not give space to your generation. People can't match you. They can't approximate your level. They can't approximate your result. They can't approximate your impact. He said, but there is a space. You cannot be where they are because you are not carrying what they carry. You are free to go after them, but there must be a space. Why is it that many Christians are at the level of their unbeliever friends? Because of the absence of that presence. No space. Why is it that many are at the level of their family members in everything, resolve in everything? No presence. Because of the lack of the presence, no space. He said, yet there must be a space. You measure it about 2,000 cubits. Go after them, but don't come near it. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. I don't know what this means to you, but if you are tired of being at the same level with those who don't know the God you know, then you must demand on bearing that presence that will create that space between you and them. If you are tired of being at the same level with those who don't know the God you know, then you must make demands on that presence that will create the space between you and those who don't know your God. You carry his presence, you take the lead, you command followership, and if you carry his presence, there is a space. There is a space. I know many people from 30, 40 years ago in my own life, and I've seen a wide space. So much space. Because while we pursued and pressed into God, others pressed into other things. And there is a space. In case you live here, Lord, let there be a space. I can't be going to church all these years and there is no space between me and those who are not going to church, between me and those who don't know God. I can't claim that I've not defiled myself, and yet there is no space. There must be the space. When you go forward, say, when the foot, belly verse 7, of the priest bearing the ark, move forward. And thou shalt command the priest that bear the ark. They come and say, when you are come to the brink of the water Jordan, you shall stand still in Jordan. Keep going. Behold, the ark of the Lord passes. Keep going. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord, the Lord of the whole earth shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off. Bearers of divine presence confront generational Jordans. God uses those who carry his presence to divide the Jordan for their generation. That is, you are a generational road maker. You are a generational road creator. You are a generational obstacle divider. The presence of God on your life does not only sort you out, it sorts out a generation. I'd like you to understand that one reason you must carry his presence is that the whole of your family is depending on that presence to move to the next level. There are people here, your campus is depending on that presence to divide the Jordan of cultism, to divide the Jordan of alcoholism, your campus. For some of us, your nation as a whole is depending on the presence of God you are carrying to move to the other side, to shift to the other side. I'll now give you 7 minutes brutal prayer. Father, place on me that presence that will cause my generation to come after what I carry. Place on me that presence that will create a space between me and those who don't carry what I carry. Place on me that presence that will make me to divide a Jordan for my campus. When we are on the campus, there was cultism that was trying to rise. And one of the young men stayed in our room that time. Some cultist people attacked him, hit him, cleared him. He came to the room to tell me. I followed him like a charged lion to take me to the spot where that happened. I followed him, entered the place, was like a bear joint and all that. I stretched my hand in the eyes of all those people and cursed that altar of evil. I won't tell the details so that we can remain focused. But later on, I was in the Rewan church, dynamics had started years ago. A woman came and he said, she was asked to come to Abuja to meet me. I said, for what? She said she wanted to set up a kiosk in that place. And they said that the kiosk could not succeed there. That other people have tried to set something up there. It didn't succeed, including a notable company. And they said, why? He said, because there was a man who was a student here many years ago. He cursed that spot. And since then, nothing had thrived there. If you want to set up anything there to succeed, go let him pray for you. Years ago, the cult couldn't flourish. It couldn't walk the way they wanted because some people divided each other. Father, lay your ark on me that will cause me to command the followership of a generation for you. Lay the ark of your presence on me that will grant the space between me and those who don't know the God that I know. Lay the ark of your presence now. If that ark can help you to divide the Jordan for your generation, how much less your own Jordan? That is, God placing something on you that becomes an answer to a whole nation. Then he cannot answer you your own tiny problem. Their answer tonight. Are you ready for brutal prayer tonight? Lift your hands and say, Father, I ask that you lay the ark on your presence on my life that will cause me to command the followership of my generation for you, that will cause me to maintain a space between me and those who don't have what I have, that will cause me to tear the
Jordan for my generation. Lay the ark of your presence on my life. Open your mouth and pray. Pray, pray, pray. Thank you.
I see fresh fire here. I see revival fire here. Generation to rise up and go after you. from their places. That will give you the space between you and those who don't know your God. That will make you a river divider for your generation. Hey! A frontliner, a frontliner. That's right. Hey. Lift your hands. I want to say the name of Jesus. 1, 2, 3. You scream fire! And while you're shouting the fire, your hand is coming upon your head. Father, let the fire of your presence be released upon your people today. The fire of your presence. The fire of your presence. The fire of your presence. The fire that will put them in the front. That will compel the generations followers in your direction. That will give a space. That will cause us to divide the obstacles for our generation and create the passage. And help those people to reach their destiny. Amashakai, are you ready? Are you ready? You scream that fire. There will be diverse encounters, diverse visitations, diverse impartations, diverse turnaround. Father, let the fire happen. Let the fire be released. Are you ready? In the name of Jesus, one. And when you are screaming the fire, you place your hand on your head and scream that fire at the top of your voice. Let the fire be released. In the name of Jesus, one.